All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio. And for our first interview of the day, we're very happy to introduce you to Nick McLellan, who is a bit of a kind of an expert on kind of matters related to the Pacific. And, of course, he is currently, I think, an adjunct kind of researcher with the School of Arts, Social Sciences and Humanities at Swinburne University of Technology, and also is an author of including some recent books on politics, I guess, in the Pacific. So good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Jacob.
Oh, we got Felix here in the studio as well. How are you going?
Hey, how are you?
The first kind of question we want to sort of ask is, what can you tell us about the kind of implications of this new nuclear sub kind of deal for Australian politics? So, yeah, pass on to Felix.
You heard that right, Nick?
Yeah, look, this new AUKUS partnership is actually not just about submarines. It's very much about integrating the Australian Defence Force into US strategies in the region. And although the proposal to construct nuclear-powered submarines over the next 20 years has hit the headlines, there's a lot more elements in it about integrating Australian military forces further into US nuclear warfighting strategies. There's a major focus on cyber and artificial intelligence technology, and really giving the United States a real-time capacity to monitor what's going on in this part of the world. A lot of this is about geography, where the United States and indeed possibly Britain hope to base more ships and submarines in Western Australia, passing through ports Fremantle and Stirling and so on, and pre-position a lot more equipment in Australia, basically closer to hotspots in East Asia.
Yeah. Are you still there, Nick?
Yes, I am.
Yep, great. Do you feel like that this is real? Like, obviously the Chinese are very upset about this. Is this the massive repositioning of the strategy in terms of China that it seems to be?
Well, it's part of a picture that's been going on for a while. Australia has joined the United States, Japan and India in a structure called the Quad, which has been upgraded, and we've just seen both virtual and face-to-face meetings of the Quad leaders, which is really another structure aiming to contain China and the perception of rising Chinese influence, not only in East Asia, but a wider across the Asia-Pacific region. One of the problems is that this is not purely an economic, a military phenomenon. China is a major economic power, although it faces many internal contradictions, including a lot of worker resistance to Chinese austerity policies and major financial problems within the Chinese state. But there's a real attempt to try and integrate Western powers. But the brutal reality of what we've seen is France's attempts to support this increasing Indo-Pacific coordination, as they call it, the containment of China in the region, didn't match the particular needs that the United States has, and a lot of that's to do with purely geography and the capacity to deploy its forces. We've seen the U.S. deployed in Hawaii and Guam, major U.S. military bases in those areas, and Australia is seen as a suitable piece of real estate to assist that process.
Yeah, this is the pivot to Asia that the U.S. has been talking about for a while. I get the impression that Australia is being used in a way by the U.S. because of the geography that you mentioned, to be sort of the forefront of the containment of China, and it seems that it's really reducing our level of independence in order to forge our own foreign policy. And because China is our main trading partner, like, we have a big interest in just keeping out of any kind of I wouldn't go so far as to say conflict, but to any kind of antagonism between the two great powers, because, you know, we're so small and powerless compared to them. And it seems that we're now hitching ourselves to the US in a way that sort of pushes aside our own strategic interests in the area and just serves the interests of the US. Is this a fair?
Well, it's complex because all around the region, countries throughout Southeast Asia, throughout the Pacific Islands, Australia, most of Europe have been juggling this contradiction between their long-term strategic alliance with the United States. And we've had one since the Second World War, which celebrated the so-called the 70th anniversary of the ANZUS Treaty. China is the major trading partner, major economic investor for many countries. And so you see the mixed reaction in Southeast Asia to the AUKUS partnership announcement. Countries like Indonesia and Malaysia have expressed a lot of concern that Australia's stand, together with the United States and Britain, is adding to the militarization of the region. The competition, strategic competition between the United States and China in the Asia-Pacific region, and a number of countries don't want any part of it. And that's particularly true of most of our Pacific Island neighbours, including New Zealand, who are very wary about the nuclear component of this current arrangement. Seeing the potential expansion of a nuclear industry in Australia as a major stumbling block, efforts to keep the Pacific nuclear free.
Yeah, just on the subs themselves, could you just explain a little bit about what these subs actually do? What role are they expected to play in the region here?
Well, first thing is they've got to build them first, and the first submarine, according to current projections, won't come until 2040 or thereabouts. What we'll see in the interim is both the United States and Britain will offer to lease or loan submarines to Australia, possibly to be based in Western Australia, to train up a submarine force, because we don't have any submariners, or few and far between, with any experience of running nuclear-powered submarines. These sort of submarines are used in nuclear warfighting strategies, part of China's small nuclear arsenal relative to the United States, is based on nuclear submarines that carry nuclear-armed missiles. And so the sort of submarines that are being talked about in this new deal would be involved in efforts to track and indeed destroy Chinese nuclear submarines, nuclear submarines, at a time of conflict. They're also involved in potentially being deployed at strategic choke points to monitor and possibly attack our vessels on the sea lanes. And so these are, future scenarios. But really a lot of it is, as I say, is not just the submarines, but it's about the real-time integration of computer and information intelligence systems between the Anglosphere partners. And, the very fact that it's Britain, a declining imperial power, the United States and Australia that are getting into bed together on this partnership has raised real questions about whether there are alternative paths for diplomacies with our neighbours in Asia and the Pacific to address the US-China conflict.
It is a pretty grim scenario that's, depicted with what the submarines would be used for in the terms of the pointy end of a potential nuclear conflict. And it is interesting that it's these partners in particular who are historically have had so much involvement in that region in a very negative way. Do you know what sort of response from the Pacific Islanders and Pacific nations to this announcement? How do they feel about all of this?
Look, the public response has been quite muted. A number of governments in Southeast Asia, like Indonesia and Malaysia and so on, have expressed concern about the militarization of the region. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern of New Zealand has said that any nuclear-powered vessel from whatever country won't be allowed in New Zealand waters or New Zealand ports. This is a long-standing policy that dates back to 1987 when New Zealand introduced nuclear-free legislation to their territory. And it's a bipartisan policy. Even the nationals in New Zealand aren't willing to take on widespread anti-nuclear sentiment in New Zealand about this issue. A number of Pacific Island countries have policies really of Papua New Guinea's expressed this well, being friends to all, enemies to none. New Guinea has strong diplomatic relations, economic ties to Australia, to the United States as well, to Japan, but also to China and to other countries. And Prime Minister Marape was interviewed this week from PNG about the submarines question. He said, diplomatically, he said, oh, look, this is business for Australia. It's for them, it's their submarines, they can do what they want. But we, Papua New Guinea, will maintain our policy, friends to all, enemies to none, which is a way of telling Canberra they're not going to turn on China, they're not going to participate in the containment of China in the Asia-Pacific region, because they welcome investment from China in infrastructure and trade and so on. Similarly, Fiji, which has, once again, close diplomatic ties to Australia, to the United States and to China, has kept a low profile in responding. But just a few weeks ago, Prime Minister Bainimarama gave a major speech as currently chair of the Pacific Islands Forum, and he called for countries in the Pacific to sign the treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons. He called for the Blue Pacific to be a nuclear-free Pacific. He talked about the atrocities, his words, not mine, of nuclear testing in the Pacific, 310 nuclear tests conducted by France, Britain, the United States in the Pacific. So there's no love of nuclear weaponry in countries like Fiji or non-aligned nuclear-free Vanuatu or New Zealand. So this nuclear submarines proposal, although, as I say, it's a couple of decades down the track before it turns into reality, sends the wrong signal at a time.
Yeah, it definitely does seem to put the Pacific nations into a very difficult position with regards to this in terms of their relationship with both Australia and China.
The Morrison government says it wants to be the security partner of choice with the Pacific Island countries. Under the so-called Pacific Step Up, there's a major effort to expand Australia's military presence, ADF presence across the region, to do training, to do exercises with Pacific countries and so on. But I think there's a wariness about the direction that the Australian defence and strategic policy is going. And part of that's due to the invisibility of the Pacific in a lot of strategic thinking in Canberra and amongst Australian think tanks. This sort of decision. I think the other striking thing on this is Australia's just announced that they're going to spend billions and billions of dollars to build nuclear submarines. This comes just weeks before the Glasgow negotiations for climate change. The next COP26, as it's known in the United Kingdom. Pacific countries are calling for a massive investment of climate finance to assist in transition to a low energy economy. And yet Australia is currently providing about 12% of its fair share of the global target of climate finance. Recent studies have shown that it's only up to about 25% over the next 5 years of what we should be paying towards assisting countries to adapt to climate change.
It's definitely showing the priorities of the government there with how they spend their billions of dollars. We're going to have to wrap it up soon, but do you have any final thoughts before we finish off?
No, well, I think this is a really important issue for people to engage with at a time where, you know, there are desperate needs in Australia to invest in health services, to address the economic impact of working people from the COVID pandemic, the sort of challenges we face about climate change in this country. The balance of resources is going to be going into these sort of defence technologies in the interests of major arms manufacturers is something we should be challenging.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's a whole lot of issues with this, and there are so many different angles at which it's a very problematic decision, and the way that it's sort of sprung on us in the region is extremely troubling. So thanks for joining us, Nick.
Thanks a lot.
All right. So you're just, we're just having a discussion with Nick McCullen, who is actually a bit of a commentator on matters relating to the Pacific. He's also an established author who's actually recently written quite a number of books on a number of topics related to the Pacific, including H-bomb testing and so on. And then of course, yeah, he's also currently a junt sort of researcher with the Swinburne University and the sort of arts kind of department. So yeah, we had a bit of a good kind of discussion with him and about the kind of all the implications of this kind of nuclear kind of sub deal. So yeah, anyway, I'll play a quick announcement. You are listening to Green Left Radio.